brought to you by Carol Beck and broadcasting live from the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, The Deck at 311 North Market Street, Suite 200 in Dallas, Texas. It's time for Career Advancement Radio, providing information to help enhance your career. Now here's your host, Dr. Marilyn Carroll.
Good afternoon, and this is our last show this week, and we're talking about leadership. I'm re-recording this show. We had a lot of interference with our last show that we recorded on this on leadership, Kamal and I. So I wanted to, she's not here with me today, but I wanted to go ahead and re-record this show because leadership is very near and dear to me. My research topic for my PhD dissertation was positive leadership behaviors and the impact it has on employees' psychological capital. So that may give you a little clearer understanding of my time spent on researching leadership and emotional and psychological effects of individuals under leaders as to why I spend so much time on this topic and career advancements and some advancement radio, as well as some of the other topics that I spend time with. So let's go. Leadership. This is a lesson on leadership or conversation on leadership. Not necessarily a lesson, but it could be for those out there that's studying leadership and want to use this in their classroom. A theory of business leadership was introduced following the economic collapse of banks and major industrial companies in the early 21st century. I completed my dissertation in 2009, and it was on this very topic. Like I said, leadership, the positive effects of leadership behaviors on employee psychological capital. And for the emphasis of my study, I used banks. I did my research and covering about 13 banks and then using one in particular, a large bank in the Southeast as my research base to study. But I also had about 13 other banks across Texas and other areas that I included in my study to get to the points that I was trying to make or attempting to make in the research to test. In that, during the 21st century, two major forms of leadership were identified, transformational and transactional leadership, that function in different ways. And transactional leadership is based on the leader providing some form of reward to followers. And it's basically seen as a traditional form of leadership. And then we have transformational leadership, in contrast, which requires a high level of integrity and honesty. And the person must be have a charismatic personality and the ability to challenge followers, drawing from them creativity and collaborative efforts. In a sense, then transformational leadership brings the ideal of leadership full circle, and it's back to the ancient philosophy of virtuous leaders. Let's spend a moment going back to virtuous leaders. And let's see, on that topic, when I first started studying leadership, some of the individuals that I started with, I went back to the earlier times, to Socrates during the 470 to 399 BC. And he paid with his life for expressing his concerns to Greek philosophers and leaders and citizens because they cared more about the reputation than the real wisdom of the leader. And then we take that to Plato, who was a student of Socrates. And we also see that he revered the wisdom and taught that leadership was tied to virtue and justice and should be valued for its own sake rather than for gaining power and wealth, as many leaders had practiced, and we still see that happening today. However, despite these ideas, in many cases, systems arose, which leadership was considered innate, an innate trait, meaning you were born with it, and often considered as power in ruling families and dynasties. And various traditions and religious beliefs were developed to sustain such practices, such as our Christian concept of divine rights of kings. And other prominent leaders gained power through the military prowess. Well, let's take that further to the 16th century work, and a work by Machiavelli served as a sort of leadership manual for rulers of that time. And during that time, he advocated that power could best be acquired and will by influencing followers with fear rather than admiration. And so we see a lot of that in organizations today. I think one of our topics this week was, well, not think, but one of our topics this week was about bullying, and that could be considered a Machiavelli trait. And in that Machiavelli trait, Machiavelli is described as conning, duplicitous ethics in leadership or other areas that he exemplified. And then we bring that back to the 19th century before the 21st century, which is where we started at the start of our show today. And we see that in the 19th century, there were theories of origins of leadership that began to appear. The Scottish historian Thomas Carlyle suggested that in the 1840s that heroes and military leaders in particular had a strong influence on major events in history. And the idea became known as the great man theory of leadership, implying that leaders were born, not made, and were, in keeping with the times, men, not women. And so these things are important to understand what philosophies and all that we study as we come to another term in our cycle in choosing politicians and understanding where things come from and how we choose leaders of based on this, the various factors in our life. Further, we suggest that who, in turn of the century, we had Andrew Carnegie and Napoleon Bonaparte and Winston Churchill, who were all leaders, and John D. Rockefeller in their time. And then Carlyle's theory was replaced by more modern philosophies, recognizing that while many of these great men were undoubtedly strong leaders, they did not embody leadership in all its forms, as we see in organizations today, that many of our leaders don't embody all the forms of leadership needed. When we talked about bullying and some leadership traits that were needed, and then even more now to the 21st century, where we see the transformational leaders coming to more light and people having emotional intelligence. But we also see that there are so many things that a leader needs that there are other things that the leader needs to complement him or herself, which to me makes human resources even more important for our leaders of organizations today. With the Carlyle theory and the great man theory, undoubtedly there were strong leaders, as I stated a few moments ago. But during the mid-20th century, the trait theory of leadership emerged as the psychologists began to study what types of personalities were associated with successful leaders. And then to that extent, we saw the trait leadership assume that there is one best way to lead, whether it was military exercises, businesses, or education. Trait studies then examined both physical qualities such as height, appearance, and facets of personality such as motivation, self-confidence, honesty, extroversion. And in an effort to predict leadership, they looked at those particular traits in order to examine whether the person would make the best leaders. Believe it or not, even in today's time, we still look at a lot of those particular traits to determine whether a person would be a great leader. If you'll go back in time and see, we choose people based on looks to whether they would be a good leader. We look at other qualities as well, but looks becomes a big factor as to whether or not. I find it interesting that in maybe as we've drawn closer and now we're in the 21st century, particularly during this election cycle, we may not look at looks as much for the people of the highest power to rule the United States as a factor in running the country, because we're dealing there with a lot older people who are in their 70s and they're running to run the country. And as we know, in a country where we have a lot of particulars about individuals and their looks and styles and all of that, that or the trait theory, that those people may not make good leaders necessarily, and we're not necessarily built on the factors, say going back to Socratic times, the virtues of the individual, that Plato's time, the virtues that make the man. I think that over time we built a combination of things, and depends on what cultures or eras we fund. We probably choose one that best suits our particular needs at that particular moment. Leadership, as you can see in all of its dynamics, is a very interesting facet, and one that I felt as though being a study of leadership and supposedly having expertise in leadership. Sometimes I question that because things have changed, as we saw as I went over the 21st century. theories. One theory that I didn't mention was a contingency theory, which argued Pablo's contingency theory, which argued that the different people could be effective leaders in different situations. And the potential leader's success depends on several factors, including his or her personality, the cooperation of those to be led, and the task completed. That could be so too. And within that, that was defined in three categories: authoritarian, democratic, or laissez-faire leadership, as to the type leadership style under the contingency theory one would need. So we've had lots of different leadership factors and that were used. And I think in the end, as we'll discuss, we probably use a little bit of all of them to manage leadership, but which makes leadership very, very complicated task that many have to implement. So leadership style is one of the most widely studied concepts. And leadership researchers have historically evolved across three areas: trait, behavior, and contingency. And I remember in school reading Euchel's book on leadership and having that in several classes, even in my master's degree program. However, there are many new developments which in coming up with Euchel's thought process, which is beyond the scope of what we're talking about today. But we have multi-factor leadership based on Basque and Abilio, and who is one of the most important models of leadership, which is also referred to as full-scale leadership, as it identifies transactional, transformational, and laissez-faire passive leadership styles. And so that is one that Basque is one that I saw repeatedly throughout my dissertation, as well as Euchel and others on leadership. Transformational leadership is associated with the most positive connotations, where behavior facets such as motivation, emotional connect, and sense of efficacy or contributory factors has a significant impact on performance or other organizational outcomes. Idealized influence or charisma, intellectual stimulation, and individual consideration, I think are some of the key factors associated with that, with transformational leadership style. Transformational leadership style is based on mutual admiration of the leader and the followers, and the common vision and creative exchange of ideas. And it takes a lot for an individual to act in that transformational leadership role, or to presume or make people feel like they have a say in that and how things go. And this is extremely important for, I think, our millennial generation that's coming through. If you're managing this type of generation, transformational leadership would be very important in this type of organization, rather than a transactional leadership style for most of your employees that may be in that particular company. I think older workers, those are the baby boom generation, may be more accustomed to that transactional leadership style, probably gave them a sense or provided them with a sense of, you tell me what to do at this organization, rather than transformational leadership style, where you have a say in the vision and the correctness and the thought process of the organization and where it goes. Some reviews of experts in this particular area suggest that worldview of leaders affects transformational leadership and leaders' effectiveness. So how the world views that leader will have some impact on that leadership style or effectiveness of that leader. So depends on the area of the country you're from, and what's going on. Even in our own country, the U.S., we have to look at transformational leadership, and if that's something that the leader has that quality or acts on those particular traits, if that's something we want. And then we have transactional leadership style. With, like I said, the baby boomer generation was more accustomed to this style of leadership. And it operates as a kind of social exchange between the leader and the follower. And it's a kind of leadership in which compliance from the follower is obtained through the use of reward and punishment. The focus of this style is to supervise, organize, and perform individually as well as a group. And then the leader closely monitors the work of the followers and ensures that he or she follows the prescribed path. Many people don't operate well in this type of leadership style. If they're from the millennial generation and even that in between group, that's the baby, that they're not the baby boomer generation, but that, that generation X and Y, before you get to millennials, that group X through millennials, X, Y, and millennials don't really conform well with transactional leadership styles. And then you have the laissez-faire leadership style, which has been explained as responsibilities and avoids making decision. So failure of taking or managing responsibility. For many of our researchers, including myself, it had negative connotations and therefore also called, I probably, with others, would probably call it avoidant or non-leadership style. So laissez-faire means I do nothing when I need to or do something when I need to. This style has been found to be less effective compared to transformational or transactional leadership styles. Some researchers like Abolito kind of characterize laissez-faire style as poor, ineffective, and highly dissatisfying for those who are followers because they really didn't know which way to go. Okay? Now, why talk about such, why spend so much time on leadership style and the origins of leadership, starting with Socrates and coming forward through Plato and great man theory and all of the other various leadership styles we mentioned and people who had a dominant impact on leadership? Well, these are important because we'll see that in this millennial generation that we live in or that we're in, it's not the generation that we're in, but those but where we have more millennials, we see that they're about social change. And so we can see some of the people that were very good in making those social changes were part of transformational leaders. They were like the Martin Luther Kings of the world, the people who changed things for social and asked people to, you know, kind of improve their lives and get become more educated and do more things. And these are individuals that we see had a strong impact on how, you know, well things were changed over time. And that social, we see these social components tied to many of the leadership factors in today's world. So let's break that down. This is this Career Advancement Radio to job related and how it impacts their leadership. And so job related well-being kind of is an emotional experience at work and outcomes people have from that and the constructs of well-being could be seen as old, but it is very important. There are many conceptualizations of well-being. And we go back to the earliest time where we had individuals that had arousal and pleasure as part of their work-related. And we go back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And so there we see in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we have a process where individuals are motivated, the areas that they're motivated by. And I find that I'm often going back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs when I'm managing people and looking at what are the things they need. When I'm working with individuals as a consultant or working with individuals as a coach or a mentor, what are their needs and what needs are associated with what they, how they're motivated at this time to do the things that they need to do. We've had some call-ins and some write-ins from people wanting to know information, and we give them, we'll dedicate a show to some of these people, 30 minutes of our show, one show to dedicate to explaining things to them from a foundational standpoint, and then bringing it out or to conception of how it works in the real world and why things are the way they are, in hopes that the show brings to light some help to that one person that happens to be chosen or their comments happen to be chosen. So if you're one of the people out there and you want to know something about something important to you and your well-being at work, you know, write to us at Marilyn at drmarilyncarroll.com. Submit your question and it may be one of the questions chosen for our show. Okay. Well-being is very important, and we can see that people in research that's been completed, laissez-faire style was the least effective style for people to operate in, whereas transactional style had some meaning. But the maximum output we receive from people in recent studies in this 21st century that we're operating in, especially with millennial generation, is transformational leadership seems to be more effective for those individuals. Remember, the workers that we have up there now, even as we wean ourselves off, or the baby boomers wean themselves off of the work environment, they were more transactional based. And now we have the Generation X, Y, and the millennials. And this starts from, I'd say, birthdays starting from the 64 and after. We see more of these traits because the closer you got to the end of that millennial generation, when they were coming up with the Generation X, their process changed in thought and pattern, and they more so linked towards other, the X and the Y leadership style. In all leadership, one of the most important, and that's why emotional intelligence has such a view in transformational leadership style. Emotional intelligence was one of the factors in a transformational leader, but self-advocacy as well. And we see Bantra had quite a bit to say about transformational leadership, and as well as leadership in schools and colleges and university. The leader has to be a transformational leader to get the most, what needs to be, I put it like this, has shown to be the most effective, having a transformational leadership style. And when we see those organizations that don't have that, we have challenges. The others just don't seem to come to par. So having self-advocacy in an organization, and this is a topic that's very near and dear to me too, positive psychological capital. And this includes hope, optimism, self-advocacy, and resilience of the individual, not just individuals now, but teams as well. Collective teams must have this positive psychological capital that marries with that transformational leadership style. The leader has to have it. That transformational leader needs it. But that transformational leader must do things or need to do things that correlate and bring together and ensure that he or she within their organizational constructs have that team that as a unit have positive psychological capital. They are very hopeful. They are very optimistic about what's about to occur. They believe in the process. They believe in the challenge at hand and know that the things that they're coming up with is going to be changed. They must be resilient, that if things look bad or people from the outside come in to disrupt or entertain otherwise, that they stick together and focus on those things that they have thought through thoroughly and exercised and researched and really examined to make the organization the best place possible. And then you have that, with along with that resilience comes that optimism and that belief, the belief of the team, the belief of the leader, and the belief of self. Those three belief systems are extremely important to know who's on your team, to know who that leader is without a shadow of a doubt and understand that leader, and to know yourself. It all starts with knowing yourself first and then coming back to the other two. And not necessarily the same order, but you must understand the group, understand the self, understand others in order to make the most out of what's going on. Because we are all people and we all have our various challenges, but for a transformational leader or any leader to do their best, there must be self-knowledge on the team, of the team itself, the individual itself, and the leader that makes everything come together and to combine to make the best of the all situations. So in conclusion, there are various leadership styles, and the style that we've seen, there's transformational, transactional, and we talked about a lot about laissez-faire leadership style. We also talked about a lot of the leadership styles from earlier and how we got to the place we are today. But transformational leadership style was the most preferred style of leadership. Then transactional, but remember, transactional has its its challenges. And if you're in a transactional leadership style, you may want to find individuals that are up and coming that have not maybe reached that place, but do know and have knowledge of who they are, but may still be finding their way. Because a lot of times the transactional leadership style can wreak havoc on individuals who already kind of know where they're going. Not that you're not the best qualified for that job, but if your leader is still going through and in a mindset of a transactional leader, then that leader will not work well with a person that's already has some traits of a transformational leader themselves and already has factors related to who they know and the knowledge of themselves and knowledge of themselves at a high level. And again, this is why we'll experience some of the challenges we see the organizations that we have out there and the challenges that can be used to break those silos down and build up great teamwork and team spirit on teams by understanding the people on our team, understanding ourselves and our groups. So that's it for our show today. Thank you. And thank you for indulging me in the opportunity to explain to you more about leadership and leadership styles in a less than a 30-minute time frame that it took me months and months and years to kind of study. And I hope I was able to bring it to you in a way that got it to the point where you can understand and use it as to benefit you when you're thinking about things related to leadership. Thank you for joining us on our show today. Again, if you'd like for us to research something for you or to talk about something on the show, if you have questions or concern, you can reach me at Marilyn at drmarilyncarroll.com. Again, that's Marilyn at drmarilyncarroll.com. Or you may call me at 214-301-1664. Our show today is broadcast to you from the DEC. The DEC is the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, and this is where we have Career Advancement Radio. You can write to me at Career Advancement Radio, or you can write to me at Marilyn at BusinessRadioX.com. That's M. Carroll at BusinessRadioX.com or Marilyn at DrMarilynCarroll.com. So there are various ways to connect with me. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, we are open to having guests. We do shows at sometimes at particular times, but our air time is on Mondays. It's our show times. And a lot of times we'll post shows out there from the weekends and other times where we have our audience that or our guests that have time to participate on our show. So we look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us on our show today, and have a great weekend.